How do you do? The woman in this story was shackled to heroin for 24 years. And to get away from that drug, she tried methamphetamines and became a speed freak for another 6 years. And during all that time, she would turn to her dad for survival money. And then she turned to someone who had the answer to the emptiness in her soul. And her heart and mind and life, including the addictions, were unshackled.
Hello?
Dad, it's me.
Where are you, Betty?
In the Las Colinas jail. I need help.
What is it this time?
It's serious, Dad. Residential burglary. But it's not true. I was getting my stuff from this house where I've been living, and the guy lied and said I stole his things.
How much is the bail?
$26,000.
I don't have that kind of money.
They call this a violent felony, Dad. The three strikes law kicks in, and I'm looking at 25 to life for something I didn't do.
It's never your fault, is it, Betty?
Get me a good lawyer, please.
I told you I won't do that again. If you're going to live that kind of life, you've got to take the bad with the good. And this is the bad. I'll visit you and put money on your account, but no bail and no attorney.
Dramatizing true life stories that light the way, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Theirs is a bleak existence, scrounging for food, always fearful and unclean, being told to move on. But when the homeless approach Pacific Garden Mission, they're welcomed and invited inside for something to eat, a shower, fresh clothing, and a real bunk to sleep on. And everything is free to these forsaken ones, even medical and dental care if needed in the mission clinic, and all thanks to caring friends who send financial gifts to keep the doors open 24/7. The goal at the old lighthouse is to introduce them to someone who can change their lives, who will give them hope and purpose. Sometimes a life is transformed at first meeting, and other times the change is deferred, like the woman in this story. But only a fool rejects the stunning gift that he offers. And that same gift is offered to the world through this program. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2,959 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
You're late. Your case is about to be cold.
Sorry.
I have bad news for you, Betty. The probation department is recommending that you be given a year on the new charge and a year on the violation, so you're looking at 2 years.
I thought we had a deal.
It fell through. I'm afraid that means prison time.
Oh, I feel sick. Can I use the restroom before I'm called?
Yeah, if you hurry. We're next on the docket.
The woman in our story would instead escape her judgment and go into hiding. Last week, we heard how she was addicted to heroin for 24 years. She tried drug treatment and even went to church and attended faithfully for a while, but she never turned from her drug addiction. In this conclusion of her true testimony, we'll hear how Betty Hamang was unshackled.
After ditching heroin for methamphetamines, at age 44, I became a tweaker, strung out for days at a time, living in the mountains east of San Diego among other speed freaks. Some of them were into Satanism, and all of us were thieves, stealing from each other. I spent my days digging for rocks and getting high. Dad gave me money periodically so I could eat and pay rent. The people I hung out with were scary. One of them was a major drug dealer, but I clicked with his wife, Diana.
This is good pot, Betty. How'd you get it?
Dad gives me the money. He didn't want me around, so I call it my stay-away-from-home money.
I'd gladly pay my husband if I could stay away from him.
Why don't you just leave?
Oh, I have several times. He always finds me and brings me back.
He's a cruel man, Diana. Scary the way he treats you.
Why do you think I smoke pot? It helps me endure living here.
I lived with a cruel man for 15 years. Never again. I carried guns for several years after we split.
So you got rid of the guns?
Yeah. Instead, I hunt for rocks. They can be used as weapons, too.
Do you plan to use your weapons on someone here?
Yeah, Dylan. He's been after me, and I told him no way.
Betty the Digger. What are you going to do with all those rocks?
I don't know, but I'll know when I find the right one. I often bought drugs for others and had some hair-raising times when bikers had a shootout nearby, when a schizophrenic on drugs drove us like a maniac on a mountain road, and when various men tried to persuade me. I had learned my lesson, and when I refused Dylan, he falsely accused me of burglary after I took my belongings from the house he owned where I'd been staying. I was arrested, and that's when Dad refused to help. Stuck in jail, I began going to a Tuesday night Bible study.
So, you see, when Jesus spoke these words from Isaiah chapter 61, he wasn't speaking about a physical prison like this. He was speaking about the spiritual prison that we're all in before we're saved.
Prison, yeah.
He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." If you are bound by your sin, only Jesus can set you free.
Jesus.
We'll look at the rest of that passage next week, and thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Pastor.
Bye. Pastor, I read the tract you gave us about your wife's testimony. Was she really a drug addict?
Yeah, we both were.
She looks like a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, that's the difference the Lord makes in your life.
I can't imagine ever living without drugs.
Oh, you can, Betty. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new."
I don't know. I've been a user more than half my life.
With God, all things are possible.
Knowing you and your wife gives me hope.
Well, we'll pray for you, Betty.
Thanks. I need it. My court appearance is coming up, and I might as well make a deal. I pled guilty to a lesser charge, and they released me to spend Christmas with my family. On New Year's Eve, I left to get high with friends and was gone a week. Then I spent a cold night alone, remembering the people I'd hurt over the years. The child I had deserted, the meaningless men, the pain to my father, all on the altar of drugs. I couldn't even cry. I just felt empty and alone. The next day, I tried to visit Diana, but she'd run away again. Later, I went to court for sentencing, and that's when my attorney said I would probably get prison. So I left the courtroom and ran. I went into hiding.
Hello?
Diana, it's Betty.
Oh, good, you got my message.
Yes, where are you?
Up near Bakersfield.
I'm glad you got away.
What's happening with you?
I'm lying low. I got in trouble with the law for something I didn't do.
I'll come down and get you in a week, and you can come up here and live with me. You can watch my kids so I can get a job.
Great! I need to get away from here. A few days later, while waiting for her to come and get me, I had my 50th birthday. Strung out on meth all alone and wanted by the police. No party, no cake, no family. Too afraid to go home because the police were looking for me. Diana came to get me, and I stayed with her and took care of her kids by day and partied at night. Then one morning when I woke up, I saw Diane's husband staring down at me. And he insisted that I get out of town. How he found us, I don't know, but he did, and I did as he said. While he watched, I grabbed my things, and they took me to the bus station where he waited till I got on a bus back to San Diego. He stayed right there till the bus pulled away. I wept for miles, but a plan was forming in my mind. A plan I thought was mine, but it wasn't. Midway through the ride, I called my dad and asked him to meet the bus, and he drove me home.
I guess you know the police are looking for you, Betty.
Yes, Dad, it was stupid to run. So I'm going to do the first unselfish thing I've done in a long time. I can't run anymore. I'm too tired and getting too old for that. I'm going to turn myself into the court and try to put all of this behind me.
Good.
I spent my 50th birthday on the streets, and it was a bummer. Could I please have my 51st birthday at home with the family? Then you can personally drive me down to the courthouse and watch me turn myself in.
I guess that'll be all right. But you have to stay at home and not go off with any of your old friends.
Okay.
You must agree to that, Betty, or I'll drive you to the courthouse right now.
I agree, Dad. My 51st birthday came 5 weeks later, and all that time I stayed at Dad's house without using drugs. That alone was a miracle. I thought about getting drugs, but something stopped me. Finally, in May 1999, I turned myself in at the courthouse. When I was led away, I saw my dad crying. I felt ashamed, very ashamed.
In a moment, we'll hear how Betty's life was transformed behind bars. Asking for help is difficult for men because pride gets in the way. And that's why Pacific Garden Mission has a man stationed outside the doors, welcoming everyone, especially the homeless, who are easy to recognize with their shabby clothes and downcast expression. The mission doorman invites them inside, along with the showers and fresh clothing, meals, and a clean bunk. The men's division at the mission provides counseling to help each man come to grips with and learn the way to overcome his weakness. Mission pastors and counselors help them understand the way they should go, providing Bible study and prayer to guide them, classes to strengthen their skills. The mission goal is not dependency. It's to enable each man to find his real place in the world and be reunited with families. Each man is encouraged to work outside the mission, and many choose to enroll in the Bible program, staying at the mission while they grow in faith and knowledge. To learn more about this ministry to men, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
I was fingerprinted, booked, and photographed, and my mugshot looked good for a change because that was my first time in jail without being on drugs. I took my bedroll and welfare pack to the assigned bunk and then went to look for a Bible to read. I was determined to see if God really could transform my life. Failing to find a Bible, I grabbed another book sitting all by itself. That book sent me running to the payphone to call my stepmother.
Hello, Betty.
Mom, do you remember a book called The Art of Selfishness?
Oh, yes. Your aunt gave me that back in the 70s so I could learn to say no to you and your brother.
I knew it was your handwriting on the inside. Your name is in the corner.
What? Do you mean that you found my book there in that jail?
Yeah, sitting on the bookshelf, almost like it was waiting for me.
Well, I gave a bunch of books to the county of San Diego 25 years ago.
Can you believe it? What are the odds of me finding it?
I can hardly believe it. That's amazing.
I returned to my bunk to read, and that's when I saw my bunk number, 51, same as my age. Suddenly, God had finally gotten through to me. I knew that He was real and that He was dealing with me. I'd come to the end of myself, and with a heart filled with contrition, I repented of my sins and cried out to the Lord to save me and give me a new life. At that moment, I felt 30 years of addiction leave my body, a huge weight lift from my spirit, and I sat on my bunk and cried tears of joy. I was born again. In the following days, I went to every Bible study and every worship service.
Betty, you're back.
I turned myself in, and you'll be glad to know I'm born again.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I read the Bible all I can every day, and God is showing me how much He loves me and how He's watched over me all these years.
He knew someday you'd come to your senses, yeah. Like the prodigal son.
He's really awesome, isn't he?
He knows the end from the beginning, Betty.
Yeah, I've read in the scriptures where He foretells future events, and hundreds of years later, it happens. No one but God could do that.
Well, I'm glad that you're getting to know the God of the Bible. That'll help you grow in faith all your life.
Pastor, I feel like the Lord is telling me that I won't be sentenced to prison. I don't understand all that I'm learning about him, but I'm trying. Sure enough, I was sentenced to 3 years probation and 1 year in the Las Colinas County Jail, where I was already being held, plus fines that I'm still paying. I learned to follow even small rules, because when I broke them, God let me get caught and punished. He chastises his children. Then I started to have some disturbing thoughts, especially when I read the Bible. I was too ashamed to tell anyone, but God provided help at Bible study, where the thoughts came out until I wanted to scream.
Now, sometimes when I read the Bible, ugly thoughts bombard my mind, thoughts that are too shameful to mention. Now, the sinful lifestyles that we all led will sometimes come back to your mind because of the many years that you've indulged the flesh with these passions. Now, that's spiritual warfare, ladies. Now, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. His only power is to attack our minds with ugly thoughts. But God has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." How do you resist? God's word is our only offensive weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit. Use it. Speak it to yourself and others. Now read Ephesians chapter 6, especially verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, God warns us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Yes. So, if you're under attack, it's a good sign that you're making progress in your walk with God. Satan attacks those who are turning from sin to God.
What a great lesson I learned that day, one I would remember during the temptations that hit me when I was released. I went home to live with my dad and stepmom, determined to honor my Savior and them. But first, I had to face the probation in recovery program.
How did it go?
It's not going to be easy, Dad. I hate using public transportation, but I lost my license, so there's no alternative.
Stay with it, Betty.
I will. Don't worry. Half a day for 3 days a week. Yuck. And they can test me anytime they want for drugs. I'll be clean.
I'm proud of you.
One of the girls in jail said she never heard of anyone who completed the program without going back to jail. But I will. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not a dope fiend anymore. I'm a daughter of the Most High God, and nothing is impossible for Him. I wanted to honor my parents, so I always came home at 10, something I'd never done before, and I always told Dad where I was. One of the first things I did after my release was to find Pastor Larry, who ministered at the jail. I also went to their church and also to the park where they helped the homeless. All I had to wear was my jail dress because of the weight I'd gained while in jail.
Betty, what a nice surprise.
I told you I'd be here.
You don't know how many times we hear that, but you're the first one to show up.
If it hadn't been for you coming to jail, I might be living in the park myself.
How is probation going, Betty?
I like my probation officer, but I have to ride the bus 4 hours each time I go to group meetings.
Well, we'll take you home today and give you some new dresses, too.
Oh, thanks, Pastor. I really appreciate that. God has been so good to me that I want to go back to Las Colinas jail and share the gospel the way you do. I attended the Wednesday night Bible study and Sunday worship service at the pastor's church, where those who had just gotten out of jail sat in the front row. We called it Felony Row. That's how I met Kevin, who was just out of prison himself. He wasn't afraid to speak boldly about his love for the Lord. After one Sunday service, a couple said they were praying for a husband for me, and I said I'd rather have a good dog. Kevin leaned over and said, "Woof, woof." That's when love for him was kindled in my heart.
We have a lot in common, Betty.
Yes, both of us were facing 25 to life when God saved us.
God spared my life many times before that. Once a police bullet fired at me, came to a stop in the windshield, right in front of my face, flat like a quarter.
Wow.
Another time a guy stabbed me in the back and the doctor said a surgeon couldn't have put a blade in a better place. It missed everything vital.
Whew. No wonder you're always witnessing to others about the Lord.
Yeah, it's the least I can do after spending so many years serving my flesh and the devil.
What's the hardest thing about being on probation, Kevin?
Oh, not being able to drive.
Yeah.
So I ride my bicycle everywhere, including my job. I lost my license, and I won't do anything illegal again, so I'll just wait.
I lost my license, too. I take the bus everywhere, and I hate it.
Oh.
But I'm determined to follow the rules.
I don't want to dishonor the Lord by breaking the law. How about you? What's the hardest?
Oh, getting up at 4:30 to catch the bus for the 9 o'clock class, and then sitting in that recovery class listening to deception.
What deception?
That drug and alcohol addiction are incurable diseases. They're not diseases, they're sins, and Jesus has the only cure. He set me free.
Amen. Jesus is the cure for all of life's sins.
One day, they showed us a film about meth use. We sat there and watched people doing meth in every possible way. They're always telling us to avoid things that trigger the urge to use, and then they throw it in our face. I think it was poor judgment. I told her so afterward.
Good for you.
She didn't like it. Oh. Now she's always watching me and criticizing my faith.
God is humbling and purging us, Betty. Trust him.
When the counselor went on vacation, the program director filled in. She looked around and said, according to the stats, only 2 people in the room would stay clean. She was counting herself and wondered who the other lucky person would be. Looking at the other 20 classmates, I saw their despair and spoke up. I don't believe your stats. I believe what my God says. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Guys, if you want more hope than this program offers, talk to me after we finish, and I'll tell you about Jesus and about real hope.
You're here to listen and learn, Betty.
According to your program, I'm entitled to a God of my understanding. And one of the steps is to turn my life over to him. That's exactly what I've done. I will submit to the authorities he's put in my life, but when they teach anything that conflicts with what he says in his word, then I will submit to God, not them. He's the one who saved my life. He's the one who pulled me from the pit of hell and delivered me from my sin and broke the back of my addiction.
Betty?
The drug addict that held me bound is dead, nailed to the cross with Jesus. I will do your program because the courts demand it, but I won't call myself an addict anymore. The Bible tells me that I have a new name, and God calls me his child, and a royal priest, an ambassador of heaven, and a saint. He said nothing can separate me from the love of God. Those are odds I can live with. They give me hope. He also said he was going to prepare a place for me to spend eternity with him. How much better can it get? That's the program I signed up for. The day I was born again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, they watched me like surveillance cameras after that. One day, the counselor accused me of being high. She told me to confess or I'd go to jail if the drug test came back positive. She asked me if I could take the test right there, and I told her I could take the test on national television if required. The test came back negative. I talked to Kevin about it later.
Did she apologize?
No, she was angry. Said I was probably about to relapse.
Oh, that was so unfair.
My probation officer said they have no authority to threaten people with jail.
She was harassing you because of your faith.
Yes. But God used the time I spent in jail to prepare me for attacks from the enemy. I feel sorry for her and pray that God would use my life to help her see that salvation is the only way to freedom, for her and for addicts.
We're all hopeless without Christ. That's why he died.
One thing I admire about you, Kevin, you never complain.
God always provides, Betty. When I first got saved and was homeless, he provided a place to live in my sister's dollhouse in her backyard.
Dollhouse?
Yeah. 10x7, just big enough for a cot and a hot plate.
Oh, man.
I lived there 6 months until God gave me this great job at the aerospace company.
What's the job like?
Well, the Lord gives me wisdom to do things that otherwise would be impossible. I've worked on special projects, designing of environmental controls, and now I'm head of maintenance for 14 hangars.
Wow. You're so gifted, Kevin.
Oh. Well, I can't tell you all the things that God has revealed to me each day. He reveals even maintenance problems to me before they become a hazard.
You know, the first time I saw you standing in church, weeping as you asked for prayer for your brother's baby, I knew you were special.
Wow. I'm blown away, Betty. My family means so much to me because I lost touch with my son when he was a little boy. I take every opportunity to be with them whenever they have a need.
Graduation from the program was a big deal. My whole family was there, as were Pastor Larry and his wife, and Kevin. Also my old friend Tracy. We were lifelong friends who hadn't seen each other for nearly 7 years. God is so good. Kevin surprised me with an engagement ring one night and then kissed me for the first time before he dashed away, as unsure about our love as I was. But God knew, and we were married 2 months later. A few years later, the Lord opened a door for ministry through our church.
Betty, the Lord is leading me into prison ministry.
Kevin, I've always wanted to go back to Las Colinas jail and tell the women about Jesus.
God is giving you the desires of your heart.
He gave me you. And you're so good for me.
Oh, well, we're good for each other. And the Lord knew that. He brought us to this place for His purposes.
I love the way you witness to everybody on your job, to waitresses, people on the street.
Everybody needs the Lord so badly.
Oh, you're right.
Think of it, Betty. The King of the Universe has looked down here and said, "Hey, Kevin, hey, Betty, I have a job for you to do."
I'd been off probation for more than a year when I submitted papers to go into Las Colinas with my church to do ministry. What an experience. We walked down halls I had swept, and whenever we approached an inmate doing her job, she turned and faced the wall as I had done. Over and over I thought, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." I spent years digging for rocks, and then I found the true rock in Jesus.
One day, as I shared the gospel with my dad, he prayed to receive the Lord. Recently, I received a wedding invitation from someone in Chicago. It was my son. Words can never express my gratitude to God for bringing him back in my life and giving us a new start. Every day, Betty and I start our day by reading the Bible and praying together. Two people seeking the mind and heart of God to help us to be followers of God as dear children, so that Jesus Christ can be seen in our lives.
Kevin and Betty Hamang are now in prison ministry together, along with secular jobs that God has also provided. Listening friend, that great salvation is for you too. The Bible promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can do that right now, wherever you are, because there are no special words. Just ask God to save you from your sins because Jesus died for you. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago area, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 2959. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know that you listen, so please write and tell us how these dramas affect your life. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Discouraged? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.